In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. Our topic tonight is about Halloween and occultism in modern culture. And even though this week many of our friends and colleagues or neighbors, along with their kids, will be celebrating this feast, I found a great message in the readings which the church will give us tomorrow in the liturgy, which definitely tie with this feast. So first of all, in the Catholic epistle tomorrow, St. James will tell us, resist the devil and he will flee away from you. And also in the liturgy from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 12 verses 22 to 28, it's the story when some of the people brought to him a man who was demon possessed, and he was blind and mute, and the Lord healed him. And they started this conversation with the Pharisees, and they accused the Lord Jesus for casting out demons by Beelzebub, the god. Literally the word Beelzebub means the god of the flies, or the lord of the flies, as it is close to Arabic. Zubab is Zibab. Baal is the Eastern name for a god, or there was a god in Eastern Mesopotamia called Baal. So these little buggers, sometimes it was a name for the devil at this particular time. So the Lord went along with them in this conversation, and he told them, how is it possible that Satan would cast out Satan? And if he is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? By that he's saying that the devil cannot be both good and evil at the same time. He cannot be all for evil and making people fall or sin, and at the same time have an angle in him that may attract people to him, to his goodness, as we see in modern media now, how they are portraying evil things as maybe there's a good side to it, or a good funny part to the devil, as we'll share in a little bit. So it was really nice to see that the church was kind of directing us to tackle this topic and be able to connect it with this feast that a lot of people in secular society are celebrating now. I was visiting the city center 2 days ago, and to my surprise, that all the decorations there were for Halloween, and you had all these skulls and the ghosts and the webs and the word Happy Halloween. I'm not quite sure what is so happy about Halloween. Of course, commercially, it has become the second major celebration, I guess, where a lot of people are buying costumes and candies and the decorations and all these sort of things. But I mean, this particular feast is infiltrating mainstream society to the point whereas it is being viewed as a harmless feast. So what? But when we consider the fact of occultism in mainstream America, or North America, or the West in general, we find that it has been on the rise for the past several years due to the introduction of this practice in mainstream media and practices. What is the occult? Sometimes we ask ourselves, what do we mean by the word occult? The word occult is generally associated with the secret knowledge and practices dealing with supernatural or psychic phenomena, often for the purpose of obtaining personal power. So it is the fact of pursuing personal power away from anything that is godly or that is divine or is related to the God we know of as the God of heaven and earth. It is often related to principalities or demonic power, even though it is not only that, but it is contained in it. The Holy Scriptures speak a lot that there are evil powers and spirits out in the world today. Whether we like it or not, it is a fact, unfortunately. And in so many places, of course, as we have seen miracles with our Lord Jesus having dominion over these evil spiritual powers, but there's so many names for them. And it is very apparent that when the devil fell in sin, in God's disobedience, he fell along with so many other principalities and powers and demons, etc. And we find this in many verses, especially in the epistles of St. Paul. In Romans 8:38, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, will separate me from the love of Christ." So nothing at all is able to take away my love for my Lord Jesus Christ and Master. Also in Ephesians 3:10, he says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." In Ephesians, of course, the whole armor of God, which is used for our protection. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Some people ask themselves, when St. Paul mentions the word heavenly places here, which heaven is he referring to? Is he referring to the kingdom of God? Are there evil powers and demons in the heaven, referring to the heaven of heavens, the throne of God? No. When we look throughout Scripture, we find that the word heaven or heavenly places refers to different things. To the heaven of the birds that we see with our naked eye, to the heaven of the planets and the cosmos in general, okay, which we need a telescope. And then we have paradise as the third heaven referred to by St. Paul, and then the heaven of heavens. So again, these are invisible powers that might be working against the will of God, or their sole purpose is to defeat or to deny God's reign in the world that we live in. "For by him," in Colossians 1:16, "for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." So St. Paul is telling us, God is the creator of all of these things, but some through their own personal free will, when there was a time for them for testing, they fell and they disobeyed God's will. And finally, in Colossians 2:15, "having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." So the bottom line, we know that God's power is so much stronger than all these principalities, and compared to him, they are like a little mosquito compared to a mountain. Okay, there is nothing. And even when the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples on missionary trips, and he told them to go and to preach and to heal the sick and to cast out demons, they came back and they were rejoicing. They were so happy because all of these evil spirits and evil powers and principalities, they were subject to them. But the Lord immediately corrected their understanding by saying that they should not rejoice in this, that all the evil powers are subject to them, but rather they should rejoice because their names are written in heaven. This is the most important thing. Therefore, when we speak about this controversial subject a little bit, which I know that, you know, it's not a top priority when we speak about spiritual virtues and connecting with God, but at the same time, when we speak about it, we are being confident that our God is a stronger God. We do not believe that there are two gods out there. One is a good God, one is an evil God, and there is a continuous battle between them. No. We believe that there is only one Lord and one God, supreme being above all the creation, and all of these things are under him. But out of his kindness and mercy, he has given each creature a free will at a certain time. And these beings, they denied him. And also, they are currently involved in some part in our own testing in order to be approved in the sight of God. But they are all nothing compared to his power and to his majesty. A few years ago, not sure if I told you this story before, but a few years back, I took a group of children to see the Passion Play, which plays downtown around the Easter. And after the play, all the characters would come down to greet the audience. So the person who was playing the role of the devil came down in his costume, and he started greeting the audience. So the children went up and they were greeting all the characters. Then one of the kids came back and he was so joyful, saying, "Abuna, guess what? I just met the devil and he's actually a very nice guy." Right? So the fact is, of course, I had to explain that this is only an actor, a little kid. Maybe, I'm sure he knew the difference, but you can never be too sure. But the real devil is not like that, even though in mainstream media today, this is how it appears to be. The things are being confused. You see someone who is in witchcraft, or a genie, or someone who is from the occult, or someone who is a devil worshipper, or any of these occultists. Religions, or of course the new phenomenon that we see now of Harry Potter, etc. And then you see that, oh, there is good witchcraft and there is bad witchcraft. And it exactly goes back to the gospel which we'll hear tomorrow in the church of how is it possible that the devil would have a breakdown in his kingdom? How can the devil be both good and bad? Okay, so but this dualism now is being portrayed in the media and it is confusing our children and us even sometimes, because when we say, well, it's only Halloween, but what's wrong with, you know, practicing part of it, part of the feast? We're not really worshiping the devil, we're not really spreading the teachings of the occult or of Wicca or of any of these demonic worshippers. We're not really practicing them. We're just doing a very innocent practice. And here comes the confusion. And bit by bit, these practices are seeping not only into mainstream society in general, but into our households in general and with our children. I want to speak briefly about Halloween, its origin, and also very briefly afterwards, I want to speak about some of the contemporary revelations, I guess, or shows or characters that have been, or religions that have been seeping into mainstream society or contemporary culture, with things like Yu-Gi-Oh! Cartoon and Harry Potter phenomenon, the Ouija board, the tarot cards, and Wicca. I promise I will do my best to keep it concise. There is a lot to be said and to be covered in this subject, but I will do my best to give you just a very brief idea so that when you hear these terms, they are not very foreign to your ears. His Grace Bishop Soriel and His Grace Bishop Youssef have both written excellent articles about Halloween, about its origin and its practices, which you can find on the church website. But just to give you a brief idea about its origin, and the origin of Halloween began as a day to give tribute and praise to the dark force of Satan. Halloween is derived from the word Samhain, Samhain, or Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, called together all the wicked souls who died within the past year and that were destined to inhabit animals. The celebration of the dead honored the God of the Dead on this particular night, which is October 31st. Bonfires were lit high on mountain tops so the spirits of the dead could find their way. Suitable food and shelter were provided for these evil spirits, or they would inflict havoc, cast spells, steal infants, destroy crops, kill farm animals, and instill terror as they haunted the living. This is where the term or the phrase trick or treat is derived. To worship evil spirits and false god is definitely against scriptures. And sometimes we think, what is the harm? But we should understand the origin of these things. Even though it is not part of our ethic or belief, yet it is definitely commemorating this evil god and this evil worship. Also, in the mainstream media now, it's not only Halloween, but so many other things that the days where cartoon was so simple. We see Tom and Jerry and all of these things, right? Woody Woodpecker back in the day, right? This generation is gone. And now our children are exposed to cartoons that have sexual content into them, also have occultic customs and traditions and teachings into them. And generally a lack of any kind of morals or values. The family unit is broken. There are no people that children can grow and have, you know, these heroes that they can look up to from these cartoons that used to be a means to teach children maybe some values and morals, etc. Now they have what is called the Yu-Gi-Oh! Cartoons and the cards. And basically, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has the story of a Japanese spiky-haired high school freshman. And he has some friends, Tia, Joey, Tristan, and Mai. And his grandfather provides him with advice and parental leadership. His grandfather gave Yogi the Millennium Puzzle, an ancient Egyptian game, hoping it will help him cultivate logic and reasoning. It is worth noting that Yogi places his confidence in cards and in his mysterious Millennium Puzzle. So it's a godless cartoon. Not only is it not godless, but it is teaching children to put their confidence in things which are concerning the stars and the reading of the palms, the millennial puzzles, things that go back to pagan traditions and worship. But what else? Some of mysticism and the supremacy of the dark powers are very evident in these characters. Pegasus, one of the characters on the show, strives to achieve immortality by stealing souls for the purpose of reincarnation. So all of these things are being taught in cartoons, believe it or not. And we can find also occultist themes which target children and preteens in shows such as The Tales from the Crypt, Keepers, Creep School, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Bewitched. So when we put our kids in front of the TV and leave, we have no idea what's seeping into their minds. We have to be vigilant and know exactly what kind of values and morals they are learning from these shows. Don't just think that, oh well, it's only a cartoon. What harm could come out of it? A lot of harm now could come out of cartoons, unfortunately. Next, I want to speak briefly also about Harry Potter. And the book series, of course, its author is now one of the richest people in the world, or has made so much money in a year, and it's become very famous amongst mainstream, you know, in the culture in general, and a lot of our youth are reading it, and also many adults have as well. And I have to admit, it's a good piece of literature. It's attractive. It's, as you call it, it's a page turner. So you don't want to leave the story before it's over. That's why it has attracted so many people to it. And of course, the movies and the books and the artifacts that went along with it. I remember last year, as part of a course I was taking, we're going into primary schools and to see how teaching goes in primary public schools. And there are no religious signs at all. You're not allowed to put any religious signs, except I saw a picture of Harry Potter. So I asked the teacher, I told her, if this is a public school, I thought you're not supposed to put any religions. In general, that's fine, if there's nothing at all. But all religions or religious appearance has gone from it, and this occultist religion is coming up, right? Witchcraft. Witchcraft is a religion. It's being practiced. They have seasons and they have feasts. And the highest feast for them, of course, is October 31st. And the spirits and the evil powers and witchcraft. Why do you have this hero in front of them? All the teacher could say was, we had some complaints the previous year from some parents, and we took it off for a while, but this year no one complained, so we just kept it in the classroom. Of course, all the books are available. It's not only Harry Potter, but so many other books that the kids are exposed to. What kind of themes are taught in these books, especially in Harry Potter? First, what is called animism. A spirit or life force inhabits all creatures and nature. Sometimes inanimate objects as well. So you have a talking tree and different creatures and animals. This is part of New Age movement now, which is taking over a lot of these teachings, unfortunately. Secondly, what is called polarity. Good and evil or other opposites may be seen as part of each other or as mirrors of each other. So really there is no difference between good and evil. It all coexists together. The yin and the yang. You know these black and white signs with an eye. Good and evil complement each other. There isn't much difference between both of them. And we have to accept it as part of the of any creature. Very dangerous. There is no resistance against the devil. What is the verse that says, resist the devil and he will flee away from you? Amulet, a charm believed to contain special powers or magic which is worn or carried as a protection against misfortune. Some of us back home used to believe or to wear these the evil eye. You know, the blue eye that used to keep away evil. It is not part of the Christian culture. It's part of the Islamic culture. And I have to be careful because it's the same idea. It's wearing a charm to keep away evil from you. Where is your confidence? Is it in this charm or is in the Lord Jesus? There are themes of astral projections. Again, a lot has to do with how the stars revolve and putting confidence in these stars. Also channeling or spiritism. Whereas I'm being told my future and my fortune through a spirit that comes and takes over my body. Very dangerous. Black magic also is being practiced all in these books. So we spoke briefly about Halloween, about tarot cards, about Harry Potter. And also I'd like to mention something quickly about Ouija board. Also this is becoming very common amongst, general public, but also it is starting to appear amongst many young people. And I was in discussion with several youth actually concerning the Ouija board, and they tried it and it was very dangerous. They were scared like nothing they have seen in their life, because definitely it is controlled by evil spirits. And you have these things that move by themselves, and they have to hold hands in a circle, and they have to ask a spirit to come and be amongst themselves, and a spirit does come and starts moving these objects around, and it goes to certain places and it tells them things about their life that are true. And this spirit told us things which are true that no one else knew, and they started speaking it. And it's a very dangerous practice because, yes, the devil may have some knowledge. How would the devil know? He wouldn't know the future. He may know only, as His Holiness Pope Shenouda said, devil may know things that we have done in our life. He cannot go into our minds. But if we have done an action and anyone else has seen it, even if it was, you know, amongst one person or a few people, he has access to this information because he has seen it or known about it. So it's very dangerous because it could confuse a lot of people and they could start going in this, taking this momentum. And it is a teaching. Ouija, of course, derived from the French and German word for yes. So oui and ja, right? So Ouija, yes meaning giving you certain answers to your questions. The spirits who are allegedly present at the session supposedly control the hands of the human participants for the purpose of answering questions. These questions can involve nature of the afterlife, events which occurred while these spirits still existed in the physical realm, or events which will occur in the future, which is divination. So they may answer for the participants certain questions which are true, right? Things that happened in their past, and they gain their trust, and then all of a sudden they start steering them in a completely different direction against God. We have to be very careful. The scriptures speak about this in Isaiah 8:19 by saying, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult the dead on behalf of the living? And there were several attempts in the scripture to speak to the dead, and they were condemned by God, especially in Leviticus 19:31, 26 and 27, Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6. We have to be very careful about these things. It looks like a normal board game, but unfortunately, the evil one is using it for his benefit. Then, briefly also, an idea about the tarot cards. Tarot cards originated in China in the 10th century, and then also were adapted by Hindus or Hindu religions, and they added certain suits to them. And in the 14th century, they appeared in Europe and then came over to North America. And again, it's another medium, just like reading of the palms, where you go to a person who allegedly can read and tell you something about the future, and then you get misguided. Again, one thing I have to warn about, which is part of our culture, is the reading of the Turkish coffee cup. Okay, let's not get involved in all these things. It's part of the same practice which the devil may use to misguide the children of God. The Holy Bible condemns all of these practices, and he says, for the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies, and the false dreams they comfort in vain. Therefore the people are in trouble because there is no shepherd. So following all these things comes as a result of the spiritual vacuum in the heart. People who are misguided, they are lost spiritually, unfortunately, and they start following all these steps. Also another example, when the apostle Barnabas and Paul had arrived on an island called Paphos, they met with a sorcerer called Elimas, who was named a false prophet and the son of the devil. This is what the scriptures say about him. When Elimas tried to prevent the way of the Lord, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he was blind for a time. And many examples are mentioned. Finally, a short idea about Wicca. And Wicca has been on the increase, and it's a high season for them on October 31st. What is Wicca? It's a complex religion that is often associated with witchcraft, occultism, and neo-paganism. Neo-paganism meaning bringing to life again the old practice, the Celtic practices, the old Egyptian practices from the time of the pharaohs, any other Eastern religious practices, any pagan religion, they can take part of it and they can combine it into this religion. 2 years ago, I attended a multi-religious meeting at the University of Toronto, and there were representatives from every tradition, every faith. So I was sitting on the table with a Muslim cleric and a Jewish rabbi and a Hindu guru and everything else, and many different Christian denominations. But not only that, but there were representatives of other movements and new religions such as the Wiccans. And out of curiosity, I went up to the two girls who were very young, very decent girls. I went up to them to strike a conversation just to understand more about this religion. And I asked them, what is the basic belief of your faith and why were you drawn into it? So she said the main theme of Wicca is do as you wish, harm no one. Do as you wish, harm no one. But actually, most of them are taking the first half seriously, and some do not take the second half of the Wicca law very seriously. Why is this? Do as you wish is an open invitation to do whatever you want. There are no boundaries. There are no commandments. There are no, you know, set commandments, practices. There are no hierarchies. There is nothing. Okay? Do whatever you want. And this may involve any sexual orientation, practices, curiosity, whatever it is. It's completely open. Do as you wish. Morally, whatever it is, there are no constraints or restrictions. But while they are pursuing this, of course, many of them are into nature and adjusting and changing nature to serve their purpose. And this will happen through witchcraft and trying to change circumstances. Let's say a girl would have a crush on a guy, right? And have you seen Sabrina the Teenage Witch and all of these things? And they cast spells, and they have certain Wicca books where they would cast spells to make this boy fall in love with them. This is just one practice. They don't go around flying on brooms and all of these things like the cartoon, but they are proclaimed witches. They would say, I am a witch. Witch meaning that they get involved in these natural remedies maybe, or cook spells. Some of their friends may go after them and tell them, I have this test that I'm not passing, I need a spell so that I would pass, or that I would have favor in the eyes of the prof, etc. So they would adjust nature, and if someone gets hurt in the process, they say it's not our fault. But this is what they are trying to do. Very dangerous practice, and it is seeping also into mainstream, and you'll find it in every school and college or university. This girl told me that when she was younger, she was a Christian, okay, one of the Christian denominations. And I told her, why did you leave your faith? She said two things. She said there were two reasons, which I personally learned from them a lot, that made her leave her Christian faith and believe in the Wiccan practices. She said, first of all, my mother was not a good Christian, so she did not give me a good example. She said that she was a Christian, but she never that never translated into reality in her life. She led two completely separate lives. So this gave me a very bad example for how Christians are. So when I was older a little bit, towards the end of high school, something else happened. She said a friend introduced me to Wicca. So two things, these combination of these two things, when there is a spiritual void or a lack of focus and knowledge and true belief in one's heart, seeing bad examples sometimes, and also an opportunity that opens from someone else who's saying, why don't you try this? What are you losing? She found herself in this religion and she started following it and she lost a lot. I want to conclude here by giving the following facts. We have to know the following when we discuss this subject. That there is only one God who is to be worshipped and praised, and even the demons themselves believe and tremble, as mentioned in James 2:19. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Yet our God is mightier and will always give us victory if we stick to Him, as we mentioned in the example of the Lord sending His disciples in Luke 10:18-20. We need to remember that the Egyptian magicians could only copy some of the signs which God performed on the hand of Moses, but then they failed and confessed, saying, "This is the finger of God." We have to be extremely careful from false teachers and teachings around us, and not to be simple, to be wise, because evil around us does exist. They will try, and it will try to snatch us away from the mighty hand of God. We need always to keep our guards up and not to fall into any new teaching or cult without realizing its dangers. There are many signs that people could get involved in these kinds of practices. We can notice them. Doesn't mean absolutely that, you know, children, friends, etc. are involved in this occultist movement, but these might be signs that could give us a hint and may need to investigate more on these hints. These would be withdrawal from church, lack of participation in the holy sacraments, Bible reading, church activities, and maybe sometimes seeking alternative meetings with other hidden or unknown groups. I'm going to attend this secret meeting. What is it about? It's none of your business. Okay? So just raise it suspicious a little bit. Also, internet networking, participation in suspicious chat rooms and instant messages, buddies and email newsletters and websites. We find that some people change their outer appearance, but again, we don't want to fall into a judging eye, because we're not saying, oh, if someone wears a t-shirt with a skull on it, then necessarily this person is an occultist or a Wiccan or a devil worshipper or all of these things. But if it's over a long time, there is a change in hair color and more earrings and certain outfit, it might be just something to notice. We're not judging people on their appearance, but we want to know what is in their heart. The reading habits also could change. Books of teenagers around witchcraft and magic and divination are very popular, and you can get it. And you find books called the Book of the Shadows, very popular, witchcraft Bible, a complete idiot's guide to Wicca and witchcraft. All of these things are available at Chapters and Indigo and all of these things. Developing of new languages for teens, or certain movements, or hints that may see certain people. These are all signs that may raise our curiosity. Final word. A quotation by Saint Anthony, which I like so much, that says, "I saw the snares that the enemy spread out over the world, and I said, groaning, what can get through from such snares? Then I heard a voice saying to me, humility. The church is my savior and redeemer, and in it I find my peace and the ability to fight the temptation from all the wiles of the evil one." We should know that the Lord loves us so much to the point that He shed His blood for us. And He has bought us, He has redeemed us by His own precious blood, and He wants to keep us to Himself. So let us stick with our church and teaching, and let us not fall into any new idea or teaching that may come about. And as the world gathers to celebrate, a pagan holiday or a high season for them, we are going to be worshiping and praising and praying for those who are really involved in such practices, not just, you know, the kids who are playing around. But again, I say the danger of embedding into the children that there is no problem or there is no harm in this dualism. You can be a good witch, or you can be, you know, a person who has a gun or a stick, and you joke around with people with it. This may instill in them negative morals and values. So, God willing, the church will have a gathering for everyone who would like, of course, to come, especially the children, on this particular night. But let us be wise to evil, and not just take it lightly, and be more concerned about our spiritual journey and living in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being involved in His Holy Scriptures, and praying that the Lord would protect us from the harmful wiles of the evil one. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.